Welcome to Champagne Sunday. I'm Lauren.
Hey, I'm Bonnie.
I'm Beth.
And we're going to talk about life
after divorce.
And living
the best life.
Best life and the life you love.
Yes, living the life you love on that other side.
Cheers. Cheers.
Cheers. Welcome. Okay, ladies, today we're going to talk about choosing happiness, just kind of as a way of life. We, you know, just especially on the other side or where we're in a down and a funk, just the choice of choosing happiness. And I think, Lauren, you watched something or listened to something.
Yeah. So this is not a plug and I'm not being paid for this, but I love the Today Show. I love to drink my coffee and watch the Today Show. And I was watching it this morning and Hoda Kotb has a podcast called Making Space. And she'd had this guest on. His name is Arthur Brooks. He's a professor of business at Harvard. And I think he's written a book on choosing happiness. But I need to know more about that. I also haven't listened to the podcast yet. I need to do that. So they're playing a clip of the podcast. And Hoda was talking about how she tells her kids, like, sometimes you can choose happiness, like that it can be a choice a lot of the time. And he said, yeah, you have to act like you want to feel. And I wrote that down immediately because so many times we can get bogged down in things and feeling tired or sad or depressed or dissatisfied even.
Or even one conversation can put you off.
Yeah. And if you don't want to feel that, like, just figure out what you do, how you do want to feel and get there. My therapist says fake it till you make it all the time. Like, I remember going through a whole thing with her about that. But whether that means, like, you know, what's going to make me feel happy right now? Is that watching my favorite movie? Is that going for a walk? Is that, like, whatever's going to make you feel happy? Or if you're not feeling very attractive, okay, what makes you feel attractive? Your favorite dress? Red lipstick? You know, lingerie? Like, what is it? What's going to make you feel good? Go and do that. And eventually, and he said in the brief bit of the podcast that I saw, that eventually you start to, you trick your brain and you start to actually get there. I mean, it's like a shortcut. That's how I felt it.
Yeah. So just the act of choosing to be happy, which, you know, that's something I've told my kids. I'll get stuck in one of those. They're depressed or angry or just having a come apart, whatever. And I remember saying, but you can choose to be happy. You can change this. Of course, when your kids, I mean, that's hard for them to grab the concept, but really, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I definitely think you can choose. I think you can choose. You said in some situations, I think you can choose to be happy in pretty much all situations.
I would say most.
You can be happy.
Most situations, unless you're like, I don't know, you're a medical person and I'm not, but like, unless you're like clinically depressed, right?
But I think you can find a little bit of joy in something, even if you are terminally ill or if you are, you know, have just buried somebody. You know, that's what funerals are for, to see the good part of the person and talk about the good times, and that kind of smooths those edges to get you through. Okay. I had a terrible conversation today and I walked in here in a terrible kind of way, but I brought my stitching with me. And that is a self-soothing, and it makes me very happy. So that's what I have chosen to be happy today.
Yeah, well, that's...
at the end of the day.
Well, that's actually what I've talked on other podcasts. My sister and I call that Pollyanna.
Mm-hmm.
How can we Pollyanna this?
Mm-hmm.
What is it that we need to Pollyanna about this? And I think that there's a lot to be said for being optimistic, for looking at, you know, just sort of a pile of shit. And saying, okay, what's good? Is there anything good we can pick out of this? You know,
I do that. I do that because it's, and part of it's my personality type. I don't like to feel pain.
Oh, I don't either.
Or upset. I hate that feeling. So I will try to figure out how to feel good in pretty much any, like my, I found out yesterday, my college is closing. Where I went to undergrad is closing, and we've all been pretty broken up about it. But I'm trying not to think about it too much. And my friend texted me today and he said, it feels like somebody died. And I said, no, I know it does. And that's why I'm compartmentalizing and try not to think about this
too
much.
But what a blessing for the memories that you have of going there.
Yeah.
And all of that, you know, that's a blessing.
Yeah.
A lot of people, yeah, there's a lot of good memories with that.
But I, even that, I'm like, okay, if I think on this too much, it's going to take me to a place that I want to be. So I'm going to, you know, do things that make me feel good.
That's old wisdom is look for the silver lining.
Yeah.
And you can pretty much find something good in almost every situation. I mean,
well, I think it's also why you've got that over your, Lauren, in your kitchen over your window, the Be a Goldfish, the Ted Lasso thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think I'm a goldfish a lot. I think just in my general nature, I don't hang on to the bad things. I tend to forget the way I've been treated in a lot of ways. And when I love, I over love and I will love it. You know what I mean? Like I don't hold things against the people that I really love. You know what I mean? It just, now I will protect myself if I have to, but you know what I mean? But being a goldfish, I think, is a part of that too. In that if you're his whole thing, you're not dwelling.
Yeah.
You're not on the negative or the bad aspects. You're pulling whatever was good and moving on.
Well, and at that point, it's in the past.
Yeah,
and by dwelling on whatever that bad feeling is you're having, you're affecting your future. And life is short, so you don't want to spend, I mean, why would you waste your time feeling yucky if it's a choice, you know, or if you can choose something better?
You know, and I remember being a teenager and sort of dwelling in that space of sadness and melancholy and all of that, but I don't want that. It's almost like I was exploring it at that age.
Drama.
Yeah.
But now I have now lived through enough drama of actual provided by life drama that I could not avoid. I'm not interested in participating in that if I don't have to. You know, and I think we've talked about this before, is that there are some people that are so upset about such small little things in their lives. And I can look at them now and think, wow, what a blessed life they must have.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is the reaction of someone who has not gone through any sort of trauma.
Yeah.
That something so small can seem so big.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe that's not right. I have no science to back that up. But it seems to me that in this point in my life, after everything, I would rather be on the sunny side of things. Well, I would do not want to dwell on
that. That's sort of that. Don't sweat the small stuff. And life is the small.
Look at, we're hitting all cliches.
We are. It's cliche.
It's 6-1 after another. Well, that's it. So my daughter, she gets she's in college and gets very bogged down in everything that she has to do in her list. And, you know, I hate to tell her that her list will only grow as she gets older, but, you know, she has an essay due and she starts talking about this, that, and the other. And I'm like, wait, that's next week's problem. She's like, yeah. And I was like, we're going to have to Scarlett O'Hara that. That's a problem for another day. And I know that is not a movie everybody, you know, it's not necessarily.
That's also a biblical thing. You
don't borrow trouble.
Don't
borrow trouble.
Do not worry for today. Yeah. You know, tomorrow has.
But I was like, you know, we cannot lump all of your upset and anxiety into today. There's some things you're going to have to filter out, and that's going to be a next week thing.
Anxiety and worry and all of that is so easy to feel, but really, all of that is just fear manifesting itself. And fear's not, there's a quote. We just did the play Tick, Tick, Boom.
Oh, I loved it. It was fabulous. It was so good.
And there's this quote that it's all about the lead character's like anxiety about not being where he wants to be in his career and in life. And I mean, it's about all of his fears, essentially. And he's going to give up his dream, essentially. And his best friend says to him, this is your fear talking. Mm-hmm. And you just have to thank your brain for sharing that fear and get on with it. Like, move on, because it isn't real. You know, just because your brain manifests it doesn't mean that it's, being afraid is just a feeling, you know?
Well, that's, what is it? Is it, and it may be biblical, y'all may can tell me or not, that worry is basically from the devil.
Yeah.
That it is his way, that worry has no productive end. There is nothing that comes from worry that is helpful.
No,
it does nothing but rob you of any peace that you could have, or that would help you move towards a solution about whatever it is.
It certainly keeps you from living in the moment.
Yeah.
Worrying about
and enjoying.
But all of that energy you put into the worry, if it truly is a big problem that needs to be solved, all of that energy you're putting into worry should be channeled into solving the problem.
Right.
Or, you know, or preparing against the problem or whatever it is. But the worry is, it's like robbing you of that forward momentum.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Anytime something like that, I had a little bit of this earlier today, just like I was like, I wonder if this, it's because I've been sick. And I'm like, I wonder if my, you know, I hope that this is okay. I hope it's not like X, Y, Z. And I hope it's just like something. Then I was like, Lauren, stop. Like, there's absolutely, you're fine.
Yeah.
This is not, you are not living a life or death scenario. Your stomach hurts. That's all.
Right.
This is not, the stakes, it ain't that big. So I have to, I'm not that much of a worrier, but I do have to talk myself down from the ledge every once in a while.
Well, I have had a period of my life where not being a worrier and being positive became toxic. You can take positivity to a point that it allows you to hide and not take action. So I had toxic positivity, and that I, you know, marriage related, but that I did not take action at a point when I probably should have, because I just put my head down and found the good in everything in order to avoid the bad that needed to be addressed. So I think, you know, you can probably take it too far. I did.
I think, well,
maybe. I mean, I don't know. But being positive and the fake it till you make it, I love the idea of dressing for success.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on the days when I don't put 100% into getting ready for work and going, I swear those are the days that I see every important person at work.
Mm-hmm.
Every single one. If I have my hair in a ponytail, I can almost guarantee you I will see everyone from the superintendent down, everybody. I'll see everybody. You know, so it's just faking it, you know, taking that extra few minutes to dress a way that I feel confident really goes a long way, I think. And it's only 10 more minutes of my morning.
Well, I think on that note, too, you know, I'm a big sports person. I grew up doing sports, and there is a whole field of sports psychology out there. And I learned it as a very young person. My dad was a great coach, and he always said, visualize yourself being successful. Visualize yourself making the shot. Visualize yourself breaking the full court press. Visualize yourself rebounding. Visualize yourself scoring however many points you want to score in a game. But that also goes for when I went out for jobs. You know, I'm an older lady. I did not grow up with computers. I can manage them just fine. When I went for my interview for this job, I said, I have no problem doing the nursing part as long as you teach me the computer part, and I'm sure I can pick it up. I had to visualize myself putting in my billing hours and being comfortable like doing it. Like literally, I visualized myself humming while I was doing it. Like, you know, like the little bluebird of happiness in Snow White where they're flying around or Cinderella. Yeah.
This is a performance technique too. Yeah. Like where you, like if you know where your audition's going to be for a play or anything, go to the space if you can. And so that you feel like you've already done it. Or like if you know you have a performance, again, go to the space. I mean, it's why you have dress rehearsals, but like if you visualize yourself already performing it, you'll feel like you already did. Same thing when you're doing an actual performance, to walk your space beforehand, just so it seems like you've already done it.
Well,
because then you have like all this,
and we all kind of
confidence.
We've all kind of done that in therapy. Mm-hmm. There's a reason why you write down where you see yourself in 5 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, how you visualize your partner, how you visualize your life being. One of the biggest things that I did, because I stayed in the marital home that had not so happy memories. You know, we talked about redoing our spaces. That is visualizing your house with as your nest, not the marital nest, not associated with that divorce. Visualizing yourself, how you're going to use the space, visualizing yourself as successful coming home after work. And this is a space I enter. All those little things are sort of the fake it till you make it. You're projecting what you want to see. And you don't want to see yourself crying in the shower.
Right.
In 5 years, you want to see yourself with a beautiful bathroom, with fresh flowers, with, you know, and feeling comfortable in there, and coming home after a long day of work and feeling comfortable. You want to see yourself at work as being successful.
Mm-hmm.
You want to see yourself, you know, doing a play, being successful, or playing tennis and being successful, or losing weight or whatever. We use all those techniques all the time. We just don't phrase it as fake it till you make it. But right. That's actually what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You're putting yourself in a happy place, thinking of the things that make you happy, and then doing those little things. It doesn't have to even be anything big.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that's why rearranging the furniture in my house sometimes really helps me. So if I feel like I've been in a funk, and this is why right now I'm really itching to rearrange my studio, because I feel like I need a push in my art room, but there's just no way to rearrange the studio. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to have to put different things out, I guess. But yeah, but when I rearrange, I'll rearrange my bedroom. I rearranged my living room recently. It changes the atmosphere in my house. And it's like, okay, this arrangement will now, because I'm a very visual person, signify this era in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And this era in my life is going to be the best yet. And I will remember it as when I go back and think about it, of the furniture being placed in this way, when I'm thinking about my kids being home and this, that, and the other, you know, mm-hmm. It just of the furniture in my room being painted different colors of whatever. Mm-hmm. So I think it's such a small thing, but it really changed. It's like spring for my mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like creating a spring.
And as a visual person myself, I don't know how non-visual, very concrete thinkers do this, because, well, I don't have any experience doing that. But what struck me when you were saying that you're moving things around, is sort of what my therapist said about shifting your perspective. When you do a drawing, you know, there are perspective drawings mm-hmm. that you can do from different angles. If you move, the building looks different
yeah.
from different angles. I think if you can do that with your life circumstance, look at it from a different angle, even if it is just something in your room, sitting in a different chair when you do your studying or reading, or, you know, just having a different perspective that kind of opens your mind and helps you get to a more positive space.
Mm-hmm.
I think feng shuiing it, clearing the air, creating yeah. a different vibe and different, you bring different energy when you're happy than when you're sad. And if you want to attract happiness or manifest something, you have to think on it that way, like you already have it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's like manifesting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to think when I start getting down about being my age, empty nest, and not having a partner, I think about my grandmother, who met the second love of her life in her 80s, and they got married and lived a beautiful life for, I don't know, however long before he passed away, and about how happy they were, and just the cutest little old couple. And I'm like, you know, I may end up being a cute little old couple.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Or I may not, but it doesn't. But I think I can think about her as an example. She was always happy and positive my whole life. And I can sort of channel that.
I think there's a lot to be said for just trying to adjust your attitude and how you think about things. Because every single one of us can get mired down in just life circumstances. Not necessarily divorce or death, big mm-hmm. ones. But little ones, like, you know, we pre-gamed with a conversation I had on the way home from work, and that kind of had me a little confused, scratching my head, mm-hmm. and then kind of made me
mad.
Yeah, I was a little perturbed at myself for just accepting the status quo.
Yeah.
And it reminded me of I have a little painted saying on my wall that says, refuse to be average.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm always trying not to just be average, to be happy and be happy in my weirdness. I've always been the weird artsy chick.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know,
me too.
In every group, yep. there's.
I've always wanted to be the weird artsy chick and have rarely ever had the guts to be her.
Bunny. We're sitting in Bonnie's silver leafed room full of art. Yeah, no, she's not the weird artsy girl at all.
Do you so really think I'm weird and artsy? That's the best.
Yes.
Yes.
Weird and artsy.
Love it.
That's always been me. And so I struggled. I feel like I struggled for a long time.
We're talking about denial next time.
With close friends until I got to college because of that. Like,
yeah.
My crew or my yeah. group or whatever.
Well, and I have a story on that, too. I always felt like that. And I have two kids that are weird, oddball, not the popular kids, not the... Yeah. I mean, they're nice looking.
Mine's on his way.
Verbal. Right. And they're used to being with adults. Yep. They can carry on conversations with everybody. But when my son was in fifth grade, he got picked to go to the Wake Forest, which is like Duke TIP program. Mm-hmm. It's the science thing. And so I was like, sure, we can go. So I took him up there. You know, they're in fifth grade. They check into a college dorm and are basically given instructions like, this is your class. You have to be here at this time. This is your roommate. This is your suite mates. Unpack. Here's the key to your room. And the mess hall is, you know, way over there for your food.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to navigate that. And then they had to pick subjects like medicine, architecture, whatever. And they study it. And so the first night he called me and I said, how's it going? He said, Mom, who knew there are other weird, brainy kids in the world? And I said, buddy, we live in a small town. There's not that many there. I promise you, in the world, there are other people like you.
Yeah.
And so it was very accepting to him, like that he can be a part of something. He wasn't just the one lone kid out there that, you know, was thinking these big thoughts. There were other kids just like
him. Just like him.
That's like when I first went to Stitch Camp.
Yeah.
As an adult. At Callaway Gardens, I wasn't even 30. And I went over there with a friend and I was like, there were 2,000 stitchers who are just as crazy about needlework as I am. And I was like, I found my tribe. Embrace the weirdness.
Because that actually brings out another small point about being positive, or that's not what we called it, faking it till you make it, whatever, is that when you are on the sunny side of things, you attract more people like you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
I think
you know, because I think that negativity and sadness sort of build a bubble around you.
Mm-hmm.
That well, people they put don't off want a different vibe, right?
Yeah. It's hard to broach. So I think even if you're feeling absolutely terrible about yourself, faking it till you make it will bring you those people you need to pull out.
And this is not, I don't mean attractiveness in a romantic way. I mean attractiveness in terms of, that's
human
a cool
way.
Human that I'd like to.
Yeah.
People respond to confidence and fun. And I mean, people do not want to be around complaints or
negativity.
What did you just say? Negativity, sadness. Like, and not that you can't feel sad. That's
right.
Thing,
or but, feel negative.
But when you feel sad, your desire should be wanting to not be sad, you know?
Right, right. And I mean, there are going to be times that everybody has to have a moment of sadness. You crawl into the bathtub, you do whatever you need to do, but then you emerge and you can't dwell on it. Because you have to participate in life, and life is not made up of sadness.
That's one of the reasons that you don't root for characters. Like if we're talking about plays or film, or you don't root for characters who've given up. And when you start to dwell in that stuff, the audience loses empathy. The same thing happens with...
Because that's human nature.
It's human nature. If somebody's given up, you're not going to...
So if you're trying to build your tribe, it's not a negative thing. If you're stuck in that pit and you need a tribe, faking it till you make it may be what helps you get out of it 1,000 times quicker.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you'll attract different... You'll be in a different
place. Well, you'll find people to help, because once you find that one positive friend who says, oh, hey, good to see you. You want to go to lunch or whatever? All of a sudden, you're like 10 times more out of it.
Well,
every little thing.
Going back to what we were talking about a second ago, and you said you felt like you'd never been the weird arts guy that you wanted to.
No, I've always been her. I've just never felt comfortable outing myself as her.
Oh, that's what you're saying.
Yeah, I got Does that make sense? I've always been her. I've just never felt comfortable letting people know that's who I am.
I gotcha. Okay.
That's different.
I'm pretty sure people know that I'm weird since I walked through the neighborhood with the needlepoint bag. But, I mean, I could be
okay,
wrong.
I'm sorry.
You're wrong.
Bag does not say needlepoint. It says Alabama football.
As far as they know, you got a football.
You got a football fetish.
Or a football player. That's your Mary Poppins fan.
Wouldn't that be happy? There's a happy thought.
Just around.
There's a happy thought.
Just got it, Mama. Football team in her little bag.
Let me just pull them out.
Talk about manifesting.
There you go. Well, see, my bag, it makes me happy. So
there you go.
Oh, Bonnie just reminded me that I listened to a book. And it is related to this. So I listen to, not a ton of, but when I listen to books, I tend to listen to nonfiction, and sometimes it's memoirs, and sometimes it's like
how-tos
or self-help or whatever you want to call it. So I found this one that I like to quote from, so I listened to the whole thing, and it was really short, and it's called How to Keep House While Drowning. And it's written for neurodivergent people because the person who wrote it is neurodivergent. She has ADHD. And so the chapters, so the chapters are super short.
Perfect.
And she's even like, if this is too much for you, you can skip to this chapter if this is what you need. But it's basically like, it's not just about cleaning up. It's about basic things like cooking or about exercise. And essentially the overall theme is you do what you can. You do a little bit at a time. Like, okay, you can't spend the whole day cleaning the house today because you're depressed or because you have kids that you have to take care of or because you got three jobs or whatever it is. But what you can do, what can you do in 2 minutes? You know, what are the top priorities that you need to do to function well for you? And she uses this basket method where she realized she was leaving like stuff in the corner of the same room a lot. So she stuck a basket there and she would just throw it in there. And she has like a cleanup method for neurodivergent people so that you can do it quickly. Like anyway, but it's essentially, she wrote it because after she had kids, after she had two young kids and during COVID, it just like all like came crashing down. What, Beth?
I'm laughing because, okay, this is a sign we're supposed to talk about this.
Okay. Story.
I saw a meme today that said, if you want to be happier, stop reading self-help books.
No, well, it actually... I don't do it all the time.
When I read it, I was like, oh, yeah, there you go.
But like last week, my goal, because I was on spring break and I was like, all right, there's some cleaning out that I need to do. Well, my week took a turn between two stomach bugs. I had to go into work a couple of times for various reasons, church stuff. Like there were several things. And so my week did not go exactly how I thought it would. And I really only got to focus on one room in my house over break. But I did it. I focused on that room and I got everything done that I wanted to do. And I did. I was like, all right, going forward now, when I don't have that chunk of time off, I'm going to do a drawer today. Like, okay, I'm sipping my coffee. I'm going to, you know, here's this bag of clothes. I'll take it to...
Well, do you know, I'm the typical ADD person. Do you know?
Oh, you know
my
what?
My kitchen got it clean today. Y'all were coming over.
That's so funny. Well, so. There's one thing she says in the book, and this might be helpful too, and it goes back to fake it till you make it. Because you're not always going to do things perfectly. You just aren't. And I feel like we talked a lot about expectations and living up to that.
Uh-huh.
You can't. There's some scenarios in your life where you can't. Like, my life is fantastic. I love my life. I have a great house. I am a single woman. I have a wonderful partner who I love very much. I have a great kid. But within all that, I'm a single mom and I have two jobs and approaching a third on and off.
Yes.
To make sure that I can keep those things going. And that takes a lot of juggling, right? So right now, am I going to do my very best at the at home life? Probably not. But I'm going to do my best that I can.
Right.
And so one of the things she said was, you know, you're not, if you've got those bags of donations that you mean to take, that you keep meaning to take or keep meaning to sell. And she says the book, she says, imagine I am holding your precious face in my hands and looking into your eyes and saying to you, throw it away. She said, I'm not a proponent of this all the time, but if you are in any kind of survival mode, give yourself a break and throw it away. Like, just get rid of it. You know, give yourself a break. You know,
in our neighborhood, Lauren, all you have to do is put it behind the fence and then the alley rats will come pick it up.
Yeah. No, that's true.
Yeah, we have people in control of the alley.
Well,
and comes to,
I am past a little bit of those things. Like, I was in that mode.
Yeah.
In that mode a year and a half ago. I'm a little bit past that. Like, I'll actually take the bags to my car and take them to the place.
Well, and of course, you would understand this. So we cleaned out my kid's room and And so now all of the stuff that needs something we need to do something with is now sitting in the upstairs den. And I'm like, okay, I'll get to that at some point. But I've just ignored it for a week, 2 weeks now. So, I mean, I'll eventually get to it and I'll figure out, do we throw it away? Do we give it away? What do we do with it? But I have a space that I can ignore it.
Yeah. I have a storage closet upstairs that probably 75% of the stuff needs to go.
Yes.
And I just need the time to go through it. It was so
draining to get through all of the cleaning out that we're both like, I'm pretending that's not there.
But here's the thing, and this goes back to choosing happiness. Even last week, and I can't remember what something fun emerged. I can't remember what it was, but there was something that like somebody called me or like.
Was it going out to dinner? Did we go out to dinner?
No, it wasn't last week. But if there's something that takes precedence, and like if a friend calls me and says, I want to go out.
Yeah.
If I don't have anything going on.
Yeah.
I'm not going to choose cleaning out a room over having a human connection. I'm just not. Right.
Well, but that's.
I don't do that.
So today I was looking through different things. We were trying to figure out. I was just looking for what to talk about. And one of the things that people on their deathbeds talk about is, I wish I'd spent more time with my people and not cleaning the house.
Yeah.
I wish I had not worked as much as I did. I'd spent more time with my family.
Yeah.
Like human connection and relationships, that is the basis of life. And at the end of it is what we're going to cherish.
Right.
Not my house was clean and I took the donations on time.
Yeah.
That's not ever going to register to me.
And also, that's what feeds your soul and makes you happy, spending time with your people.
Yes. So
that is choosing happiness.
That's true.
I've gotten to an accepting point that like, my house isn't spotless, but it's tidy. You know, I do the dishes every day. I make sure laundry is done. My house looks tight. It doesn't look messy almost ever. This is huge for me. Yes. That took me a long time.
Well, my house does look messy.
But,
it always will.
But is my house spotless in the corners? Like, never, ever. And it's not going to be. Maybe sometime in my life, this is not the moment for that. I've accepted that. But I keep the clothes.
When I'm a famous, successful artist with my art in galleries in every state, I can hire a maid.
And like the other thing is, you have priorities, and that's okay. And choosing one thing over another prioritizes that thing.
Yeah.
And like again, when you're in that media mode of it, just not survival, but even just like I'm busy. Yeah, busy. I'm in parenting little kid mode. That is my biggest stressor. And it's a wonderful thing. I love parenting, but that is my largest stressor other than money is parenting. Like just knowing what to do. Am I doing enough? Like we've talked about this a lot.
Right. Well, and doing it on your own because you don't have a parenting partner.
Right. Yeah.
And that's different to me.
It is.
Yeah.
So, but I'm like, all right, this is fine. This is how it's going to be for now. And maybe someday it'll be just a little bit better, really. Yeah. You know.
Well, it'll just be different, Lauren. Sorry.
Yeah, it'll be different.
But that's but if you choose happiness, I think a lot of those things go away. I can remember, and I think a lot of people newly divorced or newly in the grief cycle, it's really easy to dwell on the negative. I don't have this. I don't have two incomes. I don't have security.
This is not what I planned.
This is not my dream. This is not how I wanted to raise my kids.
I'll never be married for 50 years.
It's really easy, but if you can be grateful for one thing, like I was grateful for the peace and quiet in my house at the first. Then I was grateful that I could afford some paint to redo my space. Then I was grateful, like as it grew, it kind of, my gratefulness snowballed and it made me happier and happier and happier to be in my space.
Mm-hmm.
And I won't say to be in my situation, but in some days I was very happy in my situation. I could find really good things about being alone. I could find really good things about being divorced. I could find really good positive things about spending more time with my kids.
Yeah.
You know, there's always something that you can find. You know, Oprah used to do the grateful, write down every day the three things that you're grateful for today. And I think that is also slants you in choose to be happy because it's really hard to be unhappy when you're being grateful for something.
Well, that's Rachel Hollis. Do y'all know her? So she has a journal and she did this when she was first. She wrote Girl, Wash Your Face. And then a couple of books after. So she writes three things she's grateful for. And then she writes every goal that she wants. And she writes them as if they've already happened.
Mm-hmm.
I am a successful artist. I have art hanging in this gallery. You know what I mean? Like, or whatever her thing was, whatever your thing would be. She writes them as if they've already happened, her 10 things every day. And then she goes on. But she does it every morning. That's a part of her thing. It's a part of her. And I think there's something to be said for that.
So that is visualizing, and that is faking it till you make it. That is being open to the possibility that, yeah, you can be happy and you can be successful on this side of divorce, grief, whatever you want to call it. I mean,
well, you have to get far enough, and it can get far enough away for me. And it's different because I don't have a partner anymore. I don't have, my ex-husband's not around anymore. So it's different for me to be able to look at it and think, because sometimes I get stuck in that my kids don't have their dad anymore. Even if their dad was still going to be sick and not a great person, not really participating in life like we'd all appreciate, mm-hmm. at least he'd have been here. So if you get far enough away from that emotion with that ex person and just see things for what they actually are and what your kids still have, whether it's, you know, what is there anything good, any one little teeny ounce of good things that somebody could bring out of what their ex offers for their kid? Because clearly they don't offer up positive things for us. But you know what I mean? That even that.
Yeah, I just think trying to get out of that poor, pitiful me. My life didn't turn out the way that I wanted it to. I think a lot of people get stuck in that.
You know, my kid the other day, he said, and he'll do this once in a blue moon, but he said, I wish that you and my daddy were still together. And I said, well, why is that? He said, so I don't have to go back and forth. And I said, well, honey, A, your dad lives two blocks away.
He literally lives down the street.
Like, that is a good thing. And eventually that'll be a really good thing and you'll be happy about that. And I said, but also think about, and I was kind of surprised at myself that I said this, but I did. I said, but mommy and daddy didn't get along. You know, that didn't happen. And I said, but also think about the people that you wouldn't have in your life. You wouldn't have your relationship that you have with my partner or with your dad's wife. And you wouldn't have a sister. Think about those things.
He has a stepsister now.
So I tried to flip the script on that a little bit for him so that it was. And he was satisfied.
Yeah, and he has different experiences. Yeah. Does different things. Yeah. So, I mean, his world is kind of
expanded. But he was satisfied with that answer, and he was like, yeah, oh, you're right.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's a little bit of positive that you can find in all of that. So, anyway. Well, what are you ladies doing this week to live a life that you love?
Well, it's Holy Week. Mm-hmm. It's Holy Week. So, tomorrow.
We're all going to church. Thursday, tomorrow, Friday, Saturday.
Tomorrow,
Saturday
I take week. Deep breath and start swimming.
Dive in.
Yes, so. As I'm sure you all know, I'll remind you that Lauren is the music director at her church. Mm-hmm. What's your title is?
Choir master.
So, I'm sorry. She's the bad.
If you're a praying person, pray for your clergy and all your church musicians and all those people this week because
it's a big.
They're playing trip. It's arguably the busiest.
Well, yeah, church because week of you've got year. Maundy, Thursday, and then the Friday, which is the non-service service, and then Easter,
Holy Saturday,
yeah, and then Easter Day. Mm-hmm. Which I'm hoping to go on. I'm going to go to Easter Vigil so that I don't have to go on Easter Sunday.
Yeah.
But you know.
I'm doing altar kill, and my team is
gets all of it. That's
on
right.
For this whole weekend. So, but I enjoy being up there, and I love, you know, setting the table and getting everything arranged. And the flowers at our church are over the top.
Yeah.
It's going to be beautiful.
And all of your statues, do y'all cover all of your statues right now and all of that?
We don't have statues. Maundy Thursday, they'll strip the altar.
Because everything's covered.
And they throw right now. They throw black on the crosses on Maundy Thursday.
Yeah, so all of the statues.
But Easter will be.
Yeah, vigilant and great.
Over the top. I can't wait to see it. And I love the flowering of the cross.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. You know, I'm a high church person.
Yes. Which I need to put.
I love to have incense. I wish we did bells. I missed that from the Catholic Church, the bell. But anyway.
I do. I like the incense. Well, that's. All right. I'll double enjoy the bells for you.
I don't like incense because it gives me some kind of attack.
Well, do you like, every time I have to wear a mask, sense, it reminds me of when we went to the Middle East. It smells like the Middle East. Which I guess makes sense since, you know, Jesus was from the Middle East.
Yes.
I mean, that makes a lot of sense to me now. But anyway, so what are you doing? All right. So you are doing Holy Week. Is that the life that you love? You have Friday.
I'm going to a dear friend's wedding Saturday as quickly as I can because I've got to run back. And then Sunday we are celebrating. So my stepfather and my father have the same birthday.
Interesting.
My stepfather's turning 70 and my father's turning 75 this year. So we are having a party for my stepfather on Easter Day. So that'll be fun. That'll be a good time.
Yep. Okay.
Well, you know, I'm an old church lady, so yeah, I love Easter and I love doing altar guild. And so I will be in my element. And unfortunately, my son is not coming home, but my daughter and I will cook and, you know, do all the Easter things.
What do you make for Easter?
Well, I'm doing ham this year. I'm doing ham and biscuits, and I love this salad that I used to make. You blanch asparagus and fresh blueberries on it. And then they used to make this parents dressing, but the closest you can get to it now is palmemon sesame ginger. And you put that on it and serve it cold. It is fabulous. It tastes like spring. It's wonderful. Nice. I'm doing that. And then I think I'm going to do this new shaved carrot recipe. It's kind of cool. And then I'm doing carrot cake. I went and got coconut and all that. Doll it up. It's great.
Okay. Well, I'm going to Easter Vigil on Saturday night. So I do love the Easter Vigil Catholic service. It is my favorite service of the year, even though it's the longest one. I don't know. There's just something so reverent about it. So I'm going to enjoy doing that. And then Sunday, going over to my mother's house, I'm taking a sweet hash brown casserole. So I get to hang out with two of my kids cannot come home. So I will not get to see them, but I'll get to see my sister's children and my mom and my dad and their significant others. My son will be there. My middle kid will be there with me. So that'll be nice. Be fun.
That'll be good.
So that's that.
Sounds good.
All right. Well, ladies, Beth quit stitching long enough to do this.
Cheers. Cheers. This is a stitch.
Cheers and happiness.
And yeah.
Happiness and stitching and sipping. Thank y'all for joining us for Champagne Sunday.
See you next week, girls.
See you next week. Yeah, cheers.
Have a good week.
Cheers.
Yeah. Cheers.